Nope, no one got anywhere. All right. Well, let's see. So, well, let's go back to our list of functions that we had previously, right? So we had these eight functions, right? And sequences of functions that converged, and some of them pointwise and some of them in other ways. And so what we're looking for, okay, yeah, number seven here. So we're looking for one that converges pointwise, but the terms are all bounded, but the limit is not, okay? And let's see, so, okay, well, so number seven, actually with number seven, these functions are also not bounded, right? Because these are polynomials. And so if I take a very large x, I get a very large number, okay? All right, well, so the example that I would focus on is number three here, right? So if we look at number three and look on the interval from zero to infinity, right? Each term, each n is bounded, but the limit is unbounded, okay? So that's the kind of example where you get an unbounded limit, even though the terms are all bounded. Let me use that example. So consider f sub n of x to be 1 over x plus 1 over n. So that was an example we looked at before. So then what's the suit norm of f sub n? Let me say where this lives. So this is in functions on zero to infinity. Okay, so I'm just looking at the values of at least zero. So what's the supremum of the values that my function can take? Is that clear? Yes, okay, a couple people got it there, that's right. So this is gonna be 1 over 0 plus 1 over n, which is n, right? So n is gonna be the sup norm. So they're all finite, now they're growing, but they're all finite. And what about the sup, and then, but this fn converges pointwise to 1 over x, which is again a function on the positives, but the sup norm of 1 over x is infinite, or equivalently does not exist. Slightly stronger. Okay, so that's an example for number two. So that's the kind of behavior you can get if you will allow pointwise convergence and do not insist on something converging uniformly. If it converges uniformly, you cannot get this effect. Okay, that's what this is saying. Okay, and then what about number one? How do I get a uniform a bound on this sup norm for W? All right, so here's my W. It's the limit of these objects. Right? And so over here, we had a proof that if I have a sequence of bounded functions, then the limit is bounded. And the way we got it was we bounded the supernorm of this n here. Here it is, supernorm of n by 1 plus the supernorm of one of these terms along the way, right? So we saw from this proof that the supernorm of this limiting function is at most the supernorm of one of the terms plus 1, okay? So let's work it out. So what's the supernorm of one of these terms, f sub n of x? Well, that we can do just as we did before, right? So we can just do exactly the same computation we did before. So this is less than or equal to the supernorm of the sum j equals 1 to n of 2 to the minus j, because we have those cosines, which is less than the, and this is just an absolute value again. Right, and so then that's less than the sum j equals 1 to infinity of 2 to the minus j, right? And so that's less than 1. And so then this is equal less than or equal to 1 plus 1. Okay. So that's a bound that we get. All right, any questions about that? All right, well then let me give one more property and then prove that. And you can think about some more examples of this, but this is theorem 9.16. Oh, and by the way, actually, maybe I'll just note that in these pictures, you can also see well, actually, I'll do that next time. But really long time. Let me just write down this this theorem. If we have a sequence which is continuous, so that means it's in the space C zero. Okay. Which it converges uniformly to some f, which of course is going to be a function of some sort, then just like in the case of bounded, f is actually continuous. And equivalently, the space of continuous functions C0 of AB is complete in the supernorm. Okay. All right, so let me just run through a proof of that. Proof. So note that one way to express the notion of being continuous, so f is continuous, if and only if. Okay, so one way to say that is whenever I take some point here, I want to say that it's continuous at that point C. Okay, what does it mean to be continuous? Well, that means that for every epsilon, there's some delta, so that whenever I take a X, which is within delta of C, then I have that the value of the function is within epsilon. So f of x minus f of c differs by at most epsilon. Right? That's what it means. If I'm close enough in my x value, then I'm getting close in my y value. Okay. So let's assume this for the each of the Fn's and try to prove it for F. So we will assume Fn are continuous. So we have, if I just write that out, what does that tell me? Whenever I take a C and an N and an epsilon, then I have some delta, and this delta can depend on the C and the N and the epsilon. So let me just notate that there so that it's clear what it depends on. So that whenever I have, just copying up above, X minus C being less than this delta, which depended, of course, on C and an epsilon, then we have, just as above, that the difference between F sub N at X and F sub N at C is at most epsilon, right? So that's just copying the above definition for each of the N's. Okay. Also, the Fn's converge uniformly to F. So that tells me that for every epsilon, there exists some capital N sub epsilon. So that whenever I have, actually, let me call it capital M. Whenever I have N and M bigger than capital, bigger than or equal to, say, capital M sub epsilon, then we have that we're close. So the norm of F minus the norm of Fn minus the norm of F. Let me just put one of them. I was writing down Cauchy, which is the same, but we're actually going to get that we have it converging. That's their equivalent, but this is the one we're going to use. Okay. Okay. And then just to finish up, we have, we can tidy this up. Let's see. So this is true. So we can also take the epsilon over, say, 4 if we want. And similarly here, we can get the epsilon over 4. Okay. So we have those things. And so then we can combine them and get the answer that we want. So combining, what do we need? So we want to show that our function is continuous, right? So this is what we're trying to check. So we're going to give ourselves a C and an epsilon, and I want to find that delta. Once I find the delta, then I'm done. So combining, we have for all C in AB and epsilon greater than 0, there exists a delta. And the delta that I'm going to take is, let me call it delta sub C epsilon. And it's going to be the delta N comma C comma epsilon over 4 that I had up above and claimed existed. Okay, and so then for all X between less than this delta C epsilon, what do we want? So we want to have the bound on the difference between F at, so if we look up here, what does it tell us? F at X and F at C, that's our goal. So F at X minus F at C. And if we can get that bounded, then we're done. All right, so that's all we need. So let's just do that. So this is less than or equal to, okay, well, I'm just gonna add and subtract things just like I have in the past. So I'm gonna take F sub X, F of X minus F sub, and I'm gonna take M sub epsilon over 4, which I noted above exists at X. Okay, and subtract and add the same thing. Always subtract and add the same thing. So F M epsilon over 4 at X. Okay, and then the same thing, but now at C. So we have F sub, same subscript, M epsilon over 4 evaluated at C. And as always, we add and subtract the same thing. That one got subtracted. So now we have to add it back. F sub M epsilon over 4 at C. Okay, so we add and subtract the same thing. And so what we're left with is this last term over here, this f of c. So that's what remains. So minus f of c. Okay, so I hope that's clear. All I did was add and subtract the same things and then distribute my absolute values through. All right, so that's allowed. And so then we're done. So then this is less than, so the first term is going to be an epsilon over 4. Because that's bounded by the sup norm of the difference. And then the second one is going to be epsilon over 4, because that's bounded by the difference between, by the continuity. And then the last one is going to be epsilon over 4, which is less than epsilon, and we're done. And I am out of time. So anyway, the thing to think about next is examples of this and to see what that tells us about the Weierstrass function, for example. Okay. And I'll talk about that next time. In any case, I'm going to stop the recording and stick around for questions.